Case number 12-5287, Diane D. Sledge, co-personal representative of the estate of Rico Woodland et al. Appellants versus Federal Bureau of Prisons. Mr. Carey for the appellants, Ms. Graham Oliver for the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors. Stephen Carey for appellants, the representatives of the estate of Rico Woodland.
I'd like to just ask one question at the outset. There's some sealed material. I assume the counsel are prepared to proceed without reference to that? Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of time for rebuttal. Thank you. May it please the Court, we respectfully submit that this case can be resolved, and indeed should be resolved, on the basis of just one thing. The post orders requiring housing unit officers to monitor inmates within the housing unit during controlled movements. There is no question, and the government does not even argue, that the housing unit officer in this case, Officer Richard Swidehelm, ever so much as glanced within the housing unit during the controlled movement. For this reason alone, his conduct is unprotected by the discretionary function exception to the Federal Tort Claims Act because he violated a mandatory directive that prescribed his course of conduct.
Here's my question on the language of the directive. So during all controlled movements, the unit officers will continuously monitor inmate traffic within and outside of the units.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So the officer here can't do that. You can't continuously, if you focus on the word continuously, you can't continuously be inside and outside at the same time, which, so here's my question, doesn't that create an ambiguity then in the language of the order, discretion in the language, in how to best accomplish something that on its face seems impossible to do?
No, Your Honor, because this, it's not impossible for him to do so. The way we read the post order, which seems to be the plain language of it, is that he is required during the controlled movement to continuously monitor outside and inside.
Suppose he were inside the whole time.
Right.
Which is, I think, what you think would be appropriate. And suppose something had happened outside the doors.
Well, I guess two answers. First,
While he's inside for 2 minutes, something happens outside.
Right. Well,
he can't be in both places at the same time.
Those are two sort of different scenarios.
Okay.
One, in your first one, he would be violating the post order. He wouldn't be also monitoring outside. This post order doesn't say how he needs to divide his time. It doesn't say where he needs to be. It says what he needs to do. And what this officer needs to do during a controlled movement is keep tabs on what's going on out in front of his unit and what's going on inside of his unit. And he needs to divide his time in some way, and that's within his discretion, and be in some place or some variety of places where he can accomplish both during the 10-minute period. He's not required to do both simultaneously, and he's not required to
back and forth? Is that
That's one option for him. Well, another would be that he could have positioned himself in the sally port, which is the area between the outer and inner doors. It's about eight to ten foot. Space.
Well, if you're in the sally port, you might not see something that's going on inside like this.
Well, he would have.
In this case, he would have maybe heard something.
He would have heard something.
Right.
He would have been in a position where he could hear something. He could go, he could look out the windows. There's windows in both doors that he can see through. He can keep tabs on what's going on. He needs to continuously monitor one or the other at all times. And he can't fail to cover both during the whole 10-minute period.
And he's continuously monitoring the outside the whole time.
Yeah, well, we take issue with that, whether
right.
he's actually doing that. But even if he were, the violation here for our first argument is the within-outside.
So what about the case where my second scenario. So he's inside for a couple minutes, and the something happens outside to your to someone.
Yeah, we'd have a much harder argument. It would be, you know, it's hard to get into line drawing here because in this instance, this officer completely failed to do one of his requirements. It's not that, you know, he didn't do enough. He didn't do any. And that's what he can't
do.
Well,
it's monitor. And if you read this thing as a whole, and again, I'm just asking questions to probe the extent of your argument here,
right.
But if you read it as a whole, it seems to suggest that the purpose of this is to make sure that you're monitoring traffic going into the unit.
Right.
Because the focus in the next sentence is about patting down people entering, supervising those entering, ensuring that those entering are assigned to that unit. So it seems to be that the purpose of this, and I take your point about the plain language of the first sentence, but the purpose of this, when you read it as a whole, is a guard to make sure that no one's going in with things they shouldn't have or people aren't going in who shouldn't be there.
Just to kind of, I think, you know, if you read the third sentence.
And the last sentence supports that view as well. It's to prevent people from bringing in contraband into the unit. So he's supposed to maintain high visibility. I don't see how you maintain high visibility if you're down the other end of the unit, for example, from where the entrance door is.
Right, but we're not saying that he should have gone down the hall. Our argument doesn't require him to have checked cell by cell to walk all around the unit. He needed to keep tabs to be in a position where he was present also to the inmates inside, and he could have done that from just at the inside door or even in the sally port where he could hear what's going on, kind of pop his head in, see what's going on in the common area. And, you know, we can read just the second and the fourth sentence of this post order, but that's to the exclusion of the first and the third. The first sentence says within and outside, and the third says staff will also use this time to observe inmate activity and movement. Inmate activity and movement outside, inmate activity and movement inside, and inmate activity and movement entering. There's a whole paragraph here that sets out what he is required to do. And he completely failed to do one of them. He completely failed to monitor within. And because of that...
We're supposed to be monitoring traffic, right? What does
right.
that mean?
Well, if there's... At this time, there's anywhere between 40 and 100 inmates within the housing unit who are not locked in their cells. They're out moving about. They can go to the common area. There's inmates coming in. There's inmates going out. Inmates are, you know, rubbing up against each other all over the place. So traffic is, we read it to mean that there's movement going on. There's fluidity within, outside, and coming and going. He's to monitor all of this activity, all of this movement, and all of this traffic during the controlled movement.
More of the problems outside than inside, typically at most prisons. This prison, wasn't there testimony to that effect?
Yeah, well, it's a time where there are many inmates outside. But so this is, you know, this is a...
It might be an understaffed prison, but that's beyond the scope, right?
Yeah, and the post order says what he's required to do. But yes, during this time, I mean, his normal job, right, is to monitor the inmates within and do his activities within.
The directive also doesn't refer to an officer. We have here one individual, right?
Right.
It seems to contemplate that there will be several officers. It talks about officers in the plural. And so the problem of one person being in two different places simultaneously isn't really contemplated by this directive because it seems to, at minimum, contemplate two officers. But here there was only one.
I read it slightly differently, Judge Randolph. I read it to say that, you know, there are eight housing units. There are eight housing unit officers.
Well, I understand you can read it that way.
Right, you know, right.
But also, given the possibility of simultaneously being inside and outside, another way to read it is that the contemplation was that there would be more than one officer per unit.
You know, this is directed to the housing unit officers, who, all of whom are required at this time to keep tabs on their inmates within, which is always their job, and also during this period when inmates are moving to keep tabs on the inmates outside. So I just don't read this as it's speaking to the eight housing officers, not just this one, or assuming that
there's two. He's supposed to simultaneously keep tabs on about 150 people, right? That itself suggests a challenge.
Sure. I mean, but...
Who are both inside and outside.
Right, but he can't...
And outside mingling with everyone else from all the other units.
Agreed. I mean, but what he's required to do is to keep tabs. He's supposed to be watching what's going on inside and watching outside his door to make sure nothing's going on there, and also pat searching inmates as they come in. I mean, he's, during this period, well...
It's a lot to do.
But it's not that difficult. If this officer had moved back and forth...
I think it actually is pretty difficult. If you keep tabs on 150 inmates at the same time, it's probably a bit of a challenge. So I think I take your point, but I wouldn't dismiss the difficulty of doing this successfully, especially when there's a disturbance.
But what he couldn't do, Your Honor, is put himself in a position where it was impossible for him to comply with one part of this directive,
right,
where he couldn't hear what was going on, and he didn't see, even with a glance, all of this activity inside, the inmate holding the door closed, another inmate opening and shutting doors to block the camera, inmates watching from the common area, an inmate who impermissibly entered when Officer Sweatham was supposed to be monitoring inmates entering, goes to the top of the stairs and watches what happens and leaves. I mean, he put himself in a place where he couldn't do any of that because he was standing outside. And
I looked at I guess it was a DVD.
Yeah, the video.
You said you never looked at you couldn't look all the way in because of the double door. But he never turned his head to look at people coming out.
He sort of turns around. I mean, he throws a cigarette on the ground and does a sort of loop.
Yeah, and if he's doing that, then he is monitoring traffic within the unit. Because these are people that are walking out of the unit. So, and those people that are walking out of the unit, that traffic from within the unit is going, but they're going by him. There's also people coming in, which he's monitoring as well. So why isn't that compliance with the directive?
Because, I guess, you know, two things. A simple glance isn't going to be continuous monitoring. I mean, that's just not going to be sufficient.
The definition of monitoring.
Well, I would read it, and it seems like the sort of common sense reading is that he has to be paying attention. He has to be in a position where he's actually focusing on what's going on inside, where he could hear or see, probably both, what is going on inside his unit. That gets to my second point, in that this doesn't just speak to coming and going. That's not the natural reading of this first sentence. This first sentence says, within and outside, it directs him to pay attention to the...
Read the sentence.
Okay, absolutely. During all controlled movements, and there's a typo here, during all movements, the unit officers will continuously monitor inmate traffic within and outside of the units.
If you constantly monitor inmate traffic.
Within and outside. Not entering and leaving, not into and out of. Within and outside of. And for this reason, we think Officer Sweatham violated a mandatory directive. His conduct is unprotected by the discretionary function exception. And for this reason and the other reasons in our brief, we respectfully request that you reverse the district court's decision.
Thank you. We'll give you some time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
May it please the court, my name is Heather Graham Oliver, and I represent the appellee in this matter. The post order sets out a general directive for unit officers. Post order does not say that he has to parse his time inside and outside, and there's no testimony that says that he must be inside.
But he does have to monitor within and without.
That is correct, Your
Honor.
What
does the record reflect here constituted monitoring within?
The record reflects, Your Honor, that he... is standing outside, and he is there. He's maintaining a visible presence
outside
and he's monitoring the traffic.
That's my question. What does the record reflect constituted monitoring within?
Your Honor, he is monitoring the traffic that is coming outside of the and within, because the inmates are moving from within outside and from outside inside. So
it seems I mean, one reading of this is that the purpose of it is to prevent contraband coming into the unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to maintain safety during the period, so much as it is to prevent contraband from coming in, which suggests that in order to do that, you should be standing outside before it gets in. I mean, particularly the last sentence, maintaining high visibility in this area will tend to disrupt inmate chances of bringing contraband into the unit.
Yes, Your Honor. That is correct, Your Honor. And
is there anything in the record, I know it's just jurisdictional discovery, but is there anything in the record to indicate the normal staffing, whether this was the normal staffing for this unit, one guard?
The testimony in the record indicates that the normal staffing is one guard per unit. So, yes, that is the normal staffing of the prison. One guard per unit, Your Honor. The policy seems to speak to the unit guards, meaning because there are four buildings, there are about eight guards in each unit. Each building.
Each unit has two halves.
Yes,
right?
Each.
So there's one guard per half.
Per
unit.
Half.
Yeah.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Wouldn't this have been better written to say continuously monitor inmate traffic into and out of?
Well,
that's how you essentially interpret
it. Yeah.
And I think that is a probably what it means to monitor inmate traffic within and outside the unit. It does not set up mandatory requirement for him to stand anywhere. In monitoring the traffic, he was monitoring inmate traffic, and he has discretion to determine how to carry out these directives. And in doing so, the discretion was exercised consistent with the policy objectives of the BOP, the need to maintain a safe and orderly prison. Your Honor, because Officer Switehell's alleged negligent act was discretionary, and his decision implicated public policy, the district court's decision.
Is that really what implication of public policy means? I mean, at most here you're saying he carried out a policy that was made elsewhere. Did we really get down to such a granular analysis that which way a guard turns is within the discretionary function?
The purpose for the policy and what he was doing were congruent. To the purpose for the policy.
Was he making a policy decision when he decided to stand outside and smoke a cigarette rather than stand in the Sally Port and walk back and forth? Or that sounds pretty granular to be a policy decision. Always there's going to be room for somebody carrying out a directive, statutory or regulatory, to do something. I mean, there's always room. You never get it down to the detail of which way his left foot is placed on the ground. So is this really a discretionary function here, or is this simply a functionary person carrying out decisions made by somebody else that should not be within the discretionary function exception?
This is a discretionary function. This is not the same situation as in Hartman, for instance.
What's the discretion?
The discretion is how to monitor and where to monitor, and that's the discretion.
So we're left with a mandate to monitor within and without.
Yes.
And the real case here is over whether what he was doing constituted monitoring within and without. Is that?
How he was going about what he was required to do. Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't it, I read this, that it's literally impossible to comply with the first sentence.
To monitor within.
continuously monitor within and out.
And out.
If you interpret it to be in and out, and you apply the meaning to the term continuously, that you means continuously, it's impossible to be inside and outside at the same time.
While it may be impossible to be in, to be physically
which
inside
I think helps your case, by the way, as you point out. But,
be careful how you take that question.
Yeah. I think one of the things, if you look at the entire policy altogether, as Justice has stated, that there is a focus on the prisoners not being able to bring in to maintain a high visibility during this time of movement, and for the prisoners not being able to bring a contraband into the
It's also for the wrong person to come in, right?
And also for people who may be out of bounds, yes.
Which this officer did allow, right at the same time, someone who was unauthorized to go in. Mm-hmm.
Apparently there was a prisoner who was not supposed to be in that unit and did make his way in the unit, and they caught it and told him to get out. That is correct.
Are we able to say that the control of contraband or impermissible entry is the purpose of this regulation as opposed to a purpose?
It's a purpose, Your Honor. It's stated in it is. I would maintain that it is a purpose because
a
it
purpose.
Is
I'm a purpose. I'm satisfied it's at least a purpose.
It is a purpose.
Now,
yeah.
I understood you to be arguing perhaps that it was the purpose, that there was not any other purpose, but. So you would say it's a purpose?
I would say that it's a purpose, Your
okay.
Honor. Your Honor, because Officer Schweithelm's alleged negligent act was discretionary and his decision implemented public policy, the district court's decision granting summary judgment due to the discretionary function exception to the FTCA should be affirmed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Carey, we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. Three points. I want to go to your literally impossible reading. To use an analogy, if I were to say, you know, on Monday you are to continuously review the briefs and prepare for next week's argument, right?
Yes.
You would understand that to mean during the day you're going to do one or the other and you must do both.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this says. This says during the controlled movement you will continuously monitor inmates. They made traffic within and outside of the housing
units.
So
if in the 10 minutes he had spent 9 minutes outside and one inside, would that satisfy?
Mm-hmm.
What he couldn't do was fail to do one completely. We don't, and this doesn't tell him how to do his job.
Right, but how long does he have to be inside under your view of this post order to satisfy the requirement?
It doesn't say. What it says is what he must do. He must monitor inside and outside continuously. You must divide his time between the two.
Okay. You have two other points, I think.
Yeah. Judge Randolph, going to your question about, you know, just bringing in contraband, controlled movements happen 10 times a day. This is a period, it's predictable, it happens once an hour, a few times in the morning, a few times in the afternoon, a few times in the evening. It just doesn't make sense for the post order to say, ignore what's going on inside for those 10-minute periods, predictable routine 10-minute periods every day just to monitor contraband. And that's not what the post order says. The post order says monitor inmates outside, monitor inmates inside, and pat search and check inmates for contraband.
Put yourself in a place of high visibility to prevent inmates from bringing in contraband.
Right. And so he could have been at the inner door in the sally port, go to the outer door, open it up, look outside. He's there watching all the inmates coming and going. What he couldn't do was
Was there evidence of a sort of a common law of the Allenwood facility that indicated that the order that we're discussing was treated as one in which it would be appropriate to stand outside?
There is some testimony saying that, but there's also testimony saying we're not going to tell him what to do. You know, we want him outside. We want his presence outside. We want him to be watching the inmates outside. But that makes sense. I mean, they want him to also be monitoring outside. They want him to be checking
inmates' entry. Does that language about they're not going to tell him what to do make it sound like a discretionary function on his part?
maybe that's what they testified to, but they wrote a post order that told them exactly what to do. It said monitor inmates.
Exactly is a bit of a stretch, isn't it, counsel?
It told them exactly what to do, not exactly how to do it. It said monitor inmates outside, monitor inmates within, and check inmates, pat search them as they enter for contraband to make sure that these inmates are going to the right place. Just briefly, I kind of touched on the third point there, so I think, respectfully request to reverse the district court decision. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. Well argued. The case is submitted.